All right, week number four, exceeding her need for intimate conversation. Talking about the need for couples to talk and how we can exceed in meeting that need according to the Word of God. A man was walking along the beach, and it was in the evening, and he was in kind of a time of meditation and prayer and just thinking about things and talking to God. And finally, he just kind of said out loud, Lord, I wish you would just grant me one wish. And sure enough, the clouds parted, and he could hear kind of a thunderous sound, and all of a sudden the voice of the Lord spoke to him and said, you know, you've been working to be so faithful, and here you are praying, and I'm going to grant you that one wish. What would it be? The man thought about it for a minute. He said, you know, Lord, I'd like to have a bridge built from here to Hawaii so I could just drive over there whenever I want. And God heard his petition and said, you know, your request is very materialistic. You know, I mean, I could do it, but think of all the work and the support that would be required to get down to the bottom of the Pacific and all the concrete and all the steel and all of that. And no doubt I could do it, but I don't think you should use that one wish for something so selfish and so worldly. And what you think about it again, what's something that you could wish for that you think would honor and glorify me? The man thought about that for a moment as the Lord challenged him in that. And finally, he looked up to the Lord in prayer and he said, Lord, I wish that you could help me understand my wife. I want to know what she feels inside, what she's thinking when she gives me the silent treatment or why she cries and what she means when she says the word nothing and how I can make her truly happy for our entire life. And after a few moments after that request, God said, and how many lanes would you like to be on that bridge over to Hawaii? Oh, my. Marriage is fun, isn't it? Marriage is awesome. I hope you're enjoying it. And if you're married, I hope it's great. And if it's great, I hope it gets better. And if it's not great, I hope it gets great. And if it's just hanging on, I hope it finds life and hope as a result of this class and this series as we learn to exceed. And today, exceeding her need for intimate conversation. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 9 and chapter 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And we want to learn, how do we communicate in our marriage in a way that it builds up, it edifies, it ministers grace, and it is not corrupt communication. We want communication that's not corrupt, but rather is edifying, it is building up. And we're going to learn in today's lesson that intimate conversation, a connection between a man and a wife in this way is usually a very high need for most wives. And so what can we understand about that and how can we exceed in meeting it? Now, a lot of wives will say that they get frustrated when they feel like they never talk with their husband anymore. Before they got married, they talked all the time, and now they don't talk like they used to. In fact, some wives say that they feel like their husband reserves his silence just for her alone. And certainly it brings great resentment in her heart for him. Women will often ask, why is it that my husband will not talk to me? And part of the reason for that is because men do not have the same need for conversation that women do. Women can often pick up the phone and call somebody and talk for hours, seemingly about nothing, but just wanting to talk, okay? I cannot remember the last time a guy called me and said, Gabe, I just wanted to talk. I don't know that that's ever happened in my entire life. I know this for absolute certainty. I have never called a guy and said, I just wanted to talk, all right? So that I know, and I don't remember ever receiving one as well. So there is a little different need there, all right? And when you are dating, you say, but we were talking all of the time. And in that process, he was doing all that he could to get to know you. And once he knew you and then married you, he forgot what it was that there was to talk about. I mean, it kind of all been covered, you know. And you say, yeah, but does he really care for me? In his heart, he feels like he proved that by marrying you. But what's missing is this, fellas, sometimes we don't understand that that conversation in and of itself is an ingredient for closeness with our bride. And it was there, and it was strong in that courtship and dating and getting to know one another time, because it had to be. We had to get to know one another. We couldn't get enough time together, and we couldn't talk about enough things in the time that we shared together. But if we're not careful, we can lull into a rut in marriage where we're really not talking at all. We feel like we've kind of figured it all out, and what is there yet to talk about? But we're missing an ingredient that draws us close with the bride that God has given to us. Now, what are we talking about when we say exceeding her need for intimate conversation? Intimate conversation focuses attention on what you're feeling and what you're thinking. Guys, for most of us, this is not a language we speak naturally. When somebody would ask us, how was your day? And we might say, it was good. Or we might answer about our day with, what happened today? I went to work, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that, I'm home, that's it. And that's the day, okay? But there's a depth to conversation she's longing for, and that is, how did you feel about your day? How do you think your day went? What do you think about the events of the day? And there is an intimate depth of conversation that many wives long for that, quite frankly, most husbands don't know naturally how to speak. It's something we have to learn, and it's something we have to work at. So how can we exceed in meeting this need in her life for intimate conversation? Let's dive in. Number one, let's notice in our study this morning the arrangement of intimate conversation. The arrangement. Now, in preparation for intimate conversation, there are some arrangements that need to be made to adequately prepare and exceeding her need for this intimate conversation. Now, Peter tells us, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. All of us have to learn. We all are growing in our relationship and our marriage. And there's more to learn. There's more to understand. And so what arrangements do we have to make in order to exceed in meeting this need in her heart for intimate conversation? Letter A, intimate conversation takes time. Fellas, we're going to have to carve out time to meet this need, to make sure we're conversing as she would desire. A wife desires a husband who truly cares about her and for her to spend this kind of time in this kind of conversation. And just like we talked about 2 weeks ago with affection, intimate conversation takes time, and it should be part of our daily practice. Now, how much time? Well, there's been a lot of studies done on it, but they say that a strong, thriving couple should have on average 15 hours of uninterrupted time together a week. 15 hours, okay? They say the average marriage, the husband and wife, get about 5 hours or less. So a strong couple, they say, needs about 15 hours together, uninterrupted time together. Then they say the average marriage in America today, the husband and wife are spending about 5 hours together. And when you understand the lack of time that is being spent together, it begins to explain why so many marriages in our culture today are drifting. They're off focus. They're not on mission. They're not thriving. They're hurting. There's a relational distance that has been created. The romance is cooling off because time is not being invested. And God challenges you and I, fellas, in Hebrews 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And that's how we ought to love, giving ourselves for our marriage, making time a priority. You say, Brother Rule, there is no way I could find 15 hours this week to spend with my wife. Okay, let me propose this. What if we were to say this morning, we have Game Changers coming up next weekend, we're inviting the whole community to come. What if we said to every man in this room, for every man who can find 15 hours this week to go help invite the community to Game Changers, next Sunday we will be giving them $10,000. How many of us could find 15 hours? Probably everybody for 10 grand could find 15 hours and would move some things around, get creative, do what has to be done, but could find the time to make it happen. When we truly are motivated for something, we find time. I work with lots of people going through lots of different things, but I'm always amazed at what people find money and time for. And when there's a desire for something, we find the resources to make it happen. And that's the way we have to feel about this area of our relationship. We have to find the time to spend quality time together where we can enjoy this kind of communication. So it's going to take time. Letter B, intimate conversation must be prioritized. It's got to be prioritized. Again, how would we find 15 hours every week to spend together in this way? And we can find it if we're making it a priority. And again, remember in those years of getting to know one another and dating and courtship and all of that, we were finding time to spend together. We were finding ways to spend time together. We were getting as creative as we could be to get all the time together as is possible. And we have to continue to prioritize our marriage today. It doesn't matter if you've been married 1 year. It doesn't matter if you've been married 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever it is. However long you have been together, you still must work to keep it a priority. Our spouse deserves our undivided attention, making her a priority, spending time with her, and conversing with her in this way. Now, this really has to be guarded in a marriage relationship when children arrive. Isn't it amazing that the fruit of our relationship, the fruit of the physical intimacy of our relationship, is sometimes the commodity that most threatens the intimacy of the relationship? I don't know if anybody else finds it ironic, but it's an interesting thought, is it not? and sometimes when God blesses a home with children, you have to really work to make it a priority. I told our class before, I grew up in the kind of home my dad would often tell us four kids. I can only marry one woman. I can always have more kids. And that was just kind of the statement made to let us know where we stood, you know. Mom was really important. We were under there somewhere, and that's the way it was. And by the way, my mom and dad are still married today, and they've been married now 39 years, I think. My dad will celebrate 30 years in the pastorate this January, and God's blessing their lives. But they made it known very early on, Mom and Dad and their relationship is a priority. And the kids knew it. And we've got to make sure we guard that in our relationship as well. And so there's going to have to be some arrangements made if we're going to exceed and meet this need. And secondly, let's notice in our study this morning, the appreciation of intimate conversation. The appreciation of intimate conversation. Now, Colossians 3:19, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Sometimes, and through this series, we might hear about needs and things that we might do, and we might think in our mind, that's the dumbest thing I've heard. We don't need that. I don't even know that that's going to matter, which is why I'm having you do the homework, because it's making you take these lessons home and talk about them. Because the most powerful thing we can unleash in this series is husbands and wives at home talking about how it applies. And adjusting their relationship to get better. At the end of this series, however many dozens of weeks it takes for people to do their homework, at the end of that process, if we have stronger marriages as a result, praise God for that. That's what we're trying to accomplish. And so we have to love our wives and love the needs that God gave them so that we can meet them. And so let me give you three reasons why intimate conversation is so important in marriage. Letter A. Intimate conversation is an integral part of how all of the other important emotional needs are met. One of the reasons this need is so important is because it is the catalyst for every need to be met in marriage. All of the needs that we might have, we talked about 2 weeks ago, the expression of affection. Much of that is verbal in the expression. In fact, every emotional need that we will talk about in this series at some level requires conversation in one way or another. And so having intimate conversation where we're connecting with our spouse deeper than we do with anyone else alive on the planet is an important part of all of the needs being met. We're probably not thriving in our marriage if we can't talk. Is that baseline and basic enough? That's what I'm talking about. If we can't even converse, we're probably not as strong as we should be. But we need to be strong. And so we need to learn to converse. We've got to be able to communicate at a deep level with our husband and with our wife. Intimate conversation, an integral part of that, okay? It's one of the reasons why we have to prioritize it. Secondly, letter B, intimate conversation is necessary for everyday problem solving and conflict resolution. Now, all the marriages that have no problems and are perfect, just take a break, get a donut. Let me talk to the rest of us for a while, okay? Now, in marriage, there are things that arise that can present challenges, okay? Why is that in marriage? Because marriage is a forever union of an imperfect man and an imperfect woman. I know that the marriage that I am in is not perfect because I am in it. Okay? And I make mistakes. I fall short. I have things to work on. Hey, the homework assignment we did 2 weeks ago and learning, man, I can make some adjustments here and there and so on. And so all of us are in this relationship called marriage. We're committed to it because we've had a vow to God and to one another. And along the way, things are going to come up that could be problematic, and we have to know how to resolve them and bring resolution to the relationship. And I would submit to you, it is very difficult to do that if you cannot talk. Sometimes in marriage counseling, a husband can articulate with great accuracy his frustration, and the wife can as well. But if you try to get the two talking about a resolution, it's like we're talking Greek. It's just, it doesn't happen. Why? Because there's no priority given to, on a weekly basis, just talking. So the mechanism is not there for the problem to be solved. And this is why we need this in our marriages, because stuff is going to come together. We have to work through. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, how could two walk together except they be agreed? We've got to be in agreement. We've got to converse. We've got to be in a partnership so that we can work through things that we face. It might be over friends. It might be over relatives. Some people are so excited that Thanksgiving is coming. Some people are dreading it. Why? Because Uncle So-and-so is coming. You know, Aunt whoever's coming. And here we go again. And every time we get together, family, this comes up between us. And what should be a wonderful time around a Thanksgiving table and a little turkey and pumpkin pie turns into World War III. Why? Because of relatives or friends or time management or children problems. Discipline or schedule or financial problems. I mean, any number of things that can come up that are going to require conversation. We're going to have to develop the skill in communicating one with the other. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. God challenges you and I, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to bed at night with things wrong. When you pillow your head at night and you're ready for rest, make sure you are at peace with God, with your spouse, with your children, with everyone else in your life. The Bible says, all that liveth in us, let's live peaceably with all men. And we want to make sure we keep those accounts right. And that's going to take communication. So it's vital that we can work through problems. Let us see. Intimate conversation is important because it meets a basic emotional need for most women. Again, as studies have been conducted, most women enjoy talking. They like it. And they want their husband to enjoy talking with them. You know what's an interesting statistic I read as I was preparing for this series? That most affairs begin with intimate conversation. A spouse finds somebody who will listen and respond. And that begins the path to going elsewhere for what was vowed and committed to stay here. But what got outside of that containment ring started with communication. It's vitally important that we prioritize this and make it important and grow in this area because it meets a basic need. And again, guys, we can talk about, I don't understand how just talking is meeting a need. It doesn't make any sense to me. Okay, let me give you this. So she says, honey, let's talk. And so we say, well, what do you want to talk about? Which is kind of our way of saying we don't really want to talk, but you want to talk, so you tell us what to talk about. We're going to listen, and then we're going to grunt, you know, every 3 minutes or whatever. And not understanding this need for intimate conversation and connection, she kind of shuts down and we don't talk. Okay, so let's flip the script. What if he says, honey, let's make love? And her answer to that is, why, honey, do you want to have children? Now, is that the way you want her to view that and prioritize that? Probably not. So we've got to understand the need for intimate conversation. It's not what the husband and wife are talking about. It's just the fact that they are talking, that they're conversing, that they're communicating, that they're setting time aside. It's a need that she has that we have to exceed in meeting. Again, men see conversation as a means to an end. We're conversing about something, we're solving a problem, we're getting a resolution, and we're going to reach there, and we're done. Women oftentimes see the conversation as an end in and of itself. Just the communication, just the time to talk. And we want to make sure we're striving to exceed. We've got to understand this, and then we've got to meet it and exceed in doing so. One evening, a man and his wife were sitting together by the fire and just kind of enjoying some time together. And the phone rang, and the wife answered the phone and began to talk and so on. And then she kind of came back in the room and she said, you know, that was so-and-so, and you know what they're doing? And he said, what? And he said, they're over there at their house, and they're enjoying some coffee, and they're just talking. And, you know, we never do that, and we need to do that. And he said, well, honey, let's do it right now. Why don't you go make some coffee? So she went to the kitchen, and she got some coffee going and fixed it up just the way they like it. And she brought it out and served him, and he had his cup, and she had her cup. And there they were sitting there, and they were drinking the coffee, and the fire was burning, and it was just silent. And it was awkward, and it was tension-filled, and it was starting to get frustrating. You could just feel it. Nobody knows what that feels like, but you could just feel it. In this room, this couple was experiencing this. And finally, the husband looked at the wife and he said, honey, would you just call them back and ask them what they were talking about? and sometimes we feel like we need a little head start or a little help in that way, but we have to exceed in meeting this need, prioritizing it and working at it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:5, defraud ye not one the other. Fellas, when we stood at the marriage altar and we said, I do, we committed, we want to be the husband of her dreams. We want to meet her needs. And so if she has a need to talk, then we've got to learn to talk. We've got to prioritize. We've got to carve out time for it. We've got to share with her things we would never share with anybody else about what we're feeling or what we're thinking. And we've got to hone this skill for her behalf and excel in meeting this need. Now, thirdly, let's talk then about the adversaries of intimate conversation. Now, there's some enemies that are going to do all they can to disrupt this need being met in your relationship. What are they? Letter A, making demands. Making demands. Now, there's nothing wrong with voicing to our spouse something we would like or something we need, but there definitely is something wrong when we make demands. Because when we make a demand to our spouse, we now tell them that they're meeting that need in our life is more important to us than they are. In other words, we want this from them despite them. What we're getting from them now is more valued than who they are. And we want to be very careful with making demands in our marriage relationship. By the way, it doesn't work. When we make demands, it's very unlikely we're going to get what we want. Demands are an enemy of intimate conversation, and they're a very foolish way of trying to get our way. Now, if you're dealing with a legitimate problem in your marriage, you might do better by saying something to your spouse like, would you please help me with the problem I am having? I'm sensing this problem, and maybe it's incessant, and I just need your help with a resolution. Much better way of going about it than making a demand. We don't want to make a demand. That's an enemy and an adversary of intimate conversation. Letter B, being disrespectful. And I'm really challenging the husbands today about exceeding her need for intimate conversation, but I want to say both to the husbands and wives, you must communicate respectfully. It's huge. Just listen to me very carefully. It's not normal to think that we can inspire someone to want to communicate with us on a level that is greater and deeper than anyone else we connect with on the planet, and then speak to them in worse terms than we would our dog. It doesn't work. And sometimes in counseling, I've had a husband or a wife communicate with me, this is what I'm hearing. This is the conversation that I'm being told. These are the text messages that I get. And it's horrendous. It's full of anger and hatred and cursing and vile and name-calling. And I just want to step back and scratch my head and say, what in the world? I mean, Grandma taught us, if we don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And we've got to make sure we're striving to be respectful. So let's all remember this week between now and next Sunday that every time we speak to our spouse or send a text, that God hears or sees. And let's make sure that all of our communication is pleasing to Him before it is sent or before it is said. We've got to make sure we're remaining respectful, because being disrespectful is an adversary to intimate conversation. The Bible says, let your speech be always with grace. Make sure it's pleasing and honoring to the Lord. And since disrespect can be intentional and poorly understood, if there's ever a question about what makes a comment disrespectful, there's a simple way of answering that question. If your spouse considers what you're saying to be disrespectful, it is. Done. Okay? Well, we can't figure out what's disrespectful. If he feels it is, it is. If she feels it is, it is. Who are you trying to respect in the marriage? Your spouse. So if they feel the way you're communicating, verbally, text, whatever, is disrespectful, can I just give you two words in love? Stop it! That's it. If they feel like it's disrespectful, stop. Don't communicate in that way. You're going to rob the level of connection and communication you're supposed to have. Never having a good time. What else is an adversary? Letter C, expressing anger. One author said, expressions of anger are always intended to be hurtful. So when spouses are angry with each other, they should absolutely say nothing until they've had a chance to cool off, because whatever they say will be abusive and sometimes borderline insane. Have you ever been around an angry person before? Who am I? Now the Bible says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. It's like the kids who are in the attic and they're going through the boxes and they're reading the letters that their parents used to write one another. They said, boy, these are not the names they call each other now. Boy, how things had changed. And anger, an angry outburst, have no place in a Christian marriage. Living with someone with a temper problem is like living at the foot of an active volcano. You never know what's going to happen. And by the way, the Bible talks about if we don't have control of our own spirit, it's like a city whose walls are broken down. It means we're vulnerable and we're out of control. So anger has no place in marriage. It's an adversary of intimate conversation. And when anger is there, the lines of communication are shut down and the marriage begins to deteriorate. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I know this. God wants me to talk about the fact that in our marriages, there needs to be the kind of spirit where we can connect with one another without anger. You look at our culture and our society today about how much anger is out there, how much spite, how much violence. I mean, there's just wrath pouring out of people. You know what arena that should never be seen? Marriage. Marriage. There ought to be something authentic and real about the love that is being shared between a husband and a wife. And by the way, you say, Brother Rule, I struggle with anger and I don't really know what to do. Can I give you a practical tip? The next time you're angry, stop and pray. Don't talk to your spouse. Don't punch the wall. Don't run out of the house. Don't go on a rant on Facebook. Just stop and pray. And don't stop praying until the anger's gone. And then re-engage back into life like a normal person. And then we can start having a healthy, productive conversation where we can really, truly get something done. And I'm not making light of it, but I'm just saying anger has no place in our marriages. So let's stop and pray and resolve that. Letter D. What else is an adversary? Dwelling on mistakes, past or present. Now, mistakes are common in life. None of us are perfect. We're all going to make mistakes. But when we dwell on those mistakes, we drive each other away. When our spouse tells us something that maybe that we're doing that annoys them or offends them, we need to receive that. We need to make adjustments. We need to have that open communication. Again, they're judge of their feelings. We've got to understand and believe that. And caring partners converse in a caring way. And so we want to make sure that our communication is caring and mindful of our spouse. But can I just challenge all of us? It does no good to dwell on mistakes, past or present. If a mistake has been made, let's acknowledge it. Let's learn from it. Let's move on. But let's not dwell. Never forget, the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. In Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. We want to be careful what we say. We don't want to just dwell on past mistakes. Listen, if you want your communication and conversation in marriage to thrive, talk about positive things. Nobody wants to sit down every day for a lecture. Nobody wants their daily lashing for the failure that they have become. Nobody wants the daily list of reminders of all the areas where they could be better. Now, does God's Spirit inside of me remind me at times when Gabe needs to get his act together? Absolutely. And I need to listen to that and respond and be thankful that God loves me to chasten me. But in the confines of marriage, yes, we should talk about things that are need to be improved and need to be adjusted and to work on. But I should have conversations in the marriage that I walk away feeling good. And so should you. And we've got to be careful not to just constantly dwell on mistakes, past or present. I'm so thankful for a positive wife in the relationship that we enjoy. Number four, we're running out of time. The allies of intimate conversation. Now, the biblical husband in Song of Solomon chapter 2, for sake of time, in verse number 14, where he says, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. He's taking time, prioritizing conversation, and conversing with his bride, and he's making it what it should be. And we want to strive to do that in our marriages as well. And so we have the four adversaries. What are the four allies that will help us have intimate conversation and relationship? Letter A, we need to converse to inform, investigate, and understand. Converse to inform, investigate, and understand. Now, one of the most valuable uses of marital conversation is to create an emotional closeness. We want there to be a closeness between a husband and a wife. How do we do that? Converse in these ways. Let me explain these words very quickly. Inform. Inform each other of your personal feelings, interests, and activities. Inform each other. Keep each other informed. You don't want your spouse blindsided by something. Boy, I'm guilty of this sometimes. Something will come up and Suzanne will just look at me and smile, you know, and she's so patient. I'm like, honey, I should have told you about that. And there's only 50 people coming over tonight, but it's going to be great, you know, or whatever. And we've got to inform. We've got to speak and inform. Now, a couple practical tips here. Keep a calendar of your activities together. Keep a shared calendar. Share passwords. Make sure there is no secret that you have, okay? Marriage is wide open, and make sure it's an informing conversation. Then investigate each other's lives in the way that you feel and the activities that you have going on. So keep each other informed, and then ask each other, hey, how did that go? How was it? Tell me about it. I want to hear about it, and so on. And then understand. Strive to understand the way each other feels about that. Wow, that's interesting. Why do you feel that way about that? Learn. So inform. Investigate, understand, use intimate conversation for this. Letter B, developing interest in each other's favorite topics of conversation. This is a great ally for more conversation. Find things you enjoy talking about. Now, there may be some things, fellas, your wife enjoys talking about you know nothing about. Learn. Sometimes just the education of it will make it interesting to you. And vice versa, ladies, you may need to learn some things. But find areas you both enjoy talking about. Find shared interest that you can converse about. It will greatly help your intimate conversation to peak. All right, letter C, balancing the conversation. Now, balance is the first rule of etiquette for intimate conversation. What do I mean? I mean, if a husband and wife are going to talk for 20 minutes, then they both should talk for about 10 minutes. And sometimes for some wives, it feels like, well, he would never talk for 10 minutes. And there may need to be some learning and some adjustments on in that area. It may also be because he doesn't have 10 minutes. Because in an average 20-minute conversation, he has two. Because there is no balance. And in fact, when he begins to speak, he's interrupted. And he's told what he should be saying. And so he sits back and she's having a conversation for both of them. So what does there need to be? Balance. Don't interrupt. Interrupting can ruin balance. And those who monopolize the conversation create an unwanted habit in their spouse. You want to know what that is? Silence. Silence. You don't want silence in your conversation? Don't interrupt and have balance. Seek to hear from one another and strive for that level of conversation. Then letter D, giving each other undivided attention. One of the quickest ways, fellas, that we can frustrate our spouse is by having a conversation with her while doing something else. We're watching football, we're on our phone, we're doing this, we're doing that, and we're in this conversation. You know what we're doing? We're frustrating her. You know what we need to do? Put down the phone, turn everything else off, and focus. Give her undivided attention. This will help us have intimate conversation. Then number five, the advice for intimate conversation. For sake of time, I'm going to let you read that on your own. And those are a bunch of reminders from some of the things that we've talked about today to have intimate conversation. Grab your class bulletin that you received on the way in, and let's find the homework assignment for week number four. You got it? Exceed week four homework. Half page piece of paper in the bulletin. Let's all grab that together. Look at this, and then we are going to be dismissed. Now, fellas, it's our week. So here's the assignment. We take this piece of paper. We go to our wife, and we say, sweetheart, would you please answer these five questions? Now, fellas, I wrote the questions, and I know they're fairly loaded, all right? So just go into it with a lot of courage, okay? So give it to her. Say, here's five questions. I want you to answer them. Then I want you to give this piece of paper back to me. Then, fellas, you line up the date. Might be one night after the kids go to bed. Might be a dinner. Might be Starbucks. Might be taking a walk. Whatever it's going to be. You line up the date. You take the piece of paper and you say, okay, sweetheart, I asked you, are there ways I communicate with you that you enjoy and want me to continue? And you said this, you know, what does that mean? Or are there ways I communicate that you would prefer I change? And you listed 300 of them right here. And I just want to try to go through those and make sure that I understand what exactly those are. Could you help me with that? All right. And so get those questions answered. Then get it back and then discuss it. Write down the date that you discussed it. Between now and next Sunday, you should finish your homework and take this lesson home. What are we trying to do? Exceed. Exceed in meeting the needs of our spouse. An intimate conversation, the ability to communicate is so important. Let's learn some things this week that'll help us excel in that area of our marriage. Let's pray, and we'll be on our way. Let's remember Tanisha and Randy and their family in prayer this week as well. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for the privilege that we have to come and to meet together this morning in our His Design class. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us and your investment in our lives and in our relationship. Thank you for this reminder today on intimate conversation. How can we exceed in meeting this need in the life of our spouse? And Lord, I pray that we will learn, that we will make adjustment, and that our marriage will be strengthened as a result. Thank you for everyone that was here today, many that are visiting back with us, and some here for the first time. Thank you so much for their presence today. I pray your blessing upon them, the service to follow in this week, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.